Today on Hardwired.
Nobody owes you and me nothing, and life is going to be unfair to you. Yeah, life's not fair, but I know my God, and my God is good. And my God all the time checkmates when life is not fair. He steps in and he gives me grace and he gives me power and he gives me blessing and he carries me through. Life's not fair, but God is good.
You are listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's word can make a huge difference as it's hardwired into your life, your relationships, and your future. You may be stuck in traffic or maybe even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so much for joining us. In our last time together, we looked at the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit as spelled out by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. Now today, we're going to focus on three of those gifts, which are known as the power gifts. So much confusion and disinformation has circulated around the body of Christ regarding these gifts that I want to just lay out plainly what they are, how they manifest, and how we receive them. I'm excited to share part two of the message, the power gifts. Let's go.
Well, we're going to talk tonight the nine gifts of the Spirit. I call them the big nine because most of you know about these more than any of the other gifts. But we saw in the first session we had together over this that you can count at least 21 spiritual gifts in the New Testament. 21. But the ones we know most about are these nine that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Let's go ahead and read about the nine gifts. Here's Paul listing them to the Corinthian church, the most gifted church in the New Testament. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. There are diversities of gifts, meaning many kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities, different kinds of activities, which means manifestations. But it's the same God who is working all of them. It's the same God behind all of them. Then he lists them, starting in verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same. Notice how he wants us to know these all come from the very same Holy Spirit. All right? Many gifts, one Spirit. Now, verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. And to another, the working of miracles. Now, that's the three we're going to be on tonight. Faith, healing, and miracles. Now, the gift of faith not only operates in healings and in miracles, but in the realm of the impossible as well. That's the gift of faith. Now, we're talking about a level of faith that is in the stratosphere. It's way up there. And it's a gift. And it operates not just in healings, not just in miracles, but in the realm of the impossible as well. Things that would be utterly impossible for men are achieved when a believer operates in the gift of faith. So if God really has something for you that he wants you laying hold of, he'll drop onto you the gift of faith and you will just believe no matter what you see or hear or what others say, it does not matter. It's as real to you as the seat you're sitting in. So that's the gift of faith. It's supernatural. The second power gift is the gifts of healings. Now I want you to notice that in 1 Corinthians 12, it's plural gifts. The gifts, plural, of healing. Charismata is the plural form of charisma. Charisma is the word for gift. And charismata is the plural. The plural is here. It means grace endowments, plural. In other words, when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, it's the grace of God doing it. They are endowments of grace. We're talking about healing now. So what is the gifts, plural, of healing? Let me give you a simple definition. Gifts of healing are supernatural enablements given to a believer to minister various kinds of healing and restoration through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's simple. Supernatural enablements given to a believer. Everybody say, that's me. Supernatural enablements given to a believer to minister various kinds of healing and restoration through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not the power of positive thinking, the power of the Holy Spirit. Not the power of willpower, the power of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural enablements given to a believer. What did Jesus say in Mark 16? These signs shall follow those who do what? Believe. Didn't say you got to have a theology degree. Just said believe. So God can use a Christian that's 6 months old in the Lord or a Christian that's been 50 years in God. But when the gift of healing comes upon somebody to pray for some other person for healing or restoration, it doesn't matter. He just decides. Remember, the Holy Spirit distributes them as he desires, as he chooses. And I've seen people used in the gift of healing one or two times in their life, and then the Holy Spirit chooses to never use them that way again. And I've seen other people who are used a lot in the gift of healing over many years. It's all up, folks. This is what I want to hammer in tonight. It's all up to the Holy Spirit. It's up to the Holy Spirit. What he selects to do, what he selects to put on you or me, to operate in what gift, whatever gift, and release the power of God to the glory of God, it's his choice. Power gifts, like the gifts of healing, were used in the Bible both to authenticate the message and the messenger of the gospel. The apostles regularly experienced the manifestation of healings. They attested to the fact, the healings did, that God was with the messenger and validating the message. Amen? It's a confirming sign. And it's a gift of healing. It's a gift. Now, there are some today, and I got to deal with this, who say that the gift of healing passed away with the apostles. Now, I don't slam them for thinking this because I know you can be raised in certain schools of theological thought that that is what you're taught and that's what you walk away with. But let me deal with it in case you've heard it and you're wrestling with, well, I don't think it's real for today. I think it's all hokey and I don't think God really does that anymore. It passed away with the apostles because that's what they teach. They point to verses like 1 Corinthians 13, 8 to 10. And I'm going to read it. It says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, gift of the Spirit, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, another gift of the Spirit, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But here's the kicker, this verse. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part the gifts of the Spirit will be done away. Now they claim that the perfect thing Paul is referring to when he says that which is perfect has come is the completed canon or the completed word of God. In other words, when John wrote the last verse in the book of Revelation and the Bible was finished, that, they say, is the perfect that was to come. And once the Bible was complete, we no longer needed the gifts. That's what they teach. Well, how do you know that, Jeff? Because I was sitting in those classes. I need a t-shirt. I survived seminary. Right? No, seminary for me was a great experience, but I had to deal with these things, with people who had given their lives to studying the Word of God. Brilliant people. They could read Hebrew and Greek forward, backwards, and upside down. So I had to deal with it. But I got to tell you, now listen carefully to me. I believe to say that when that which is perfect has come is referring to the completed Bible is putting the Word of God on a bit of a torture rack and stretching or trying to make it say something that for me, it clearly doesn't say. It just doesn't say that. Because if you say, well, when that which is perfect is come, then the gifts will be done away. That which is in part, the gifts will be done away. You've got to include all nine of them. Well, have we done away with knowledge? Have we done away with wisdom? Have we done away with prophecy, the declaration of truth? No. So you choke on that interpretation Now, I agree, one day prophecies, it is a fact. One day prophecies and tongues and knowledge and wisdom and all that will cease, but they will cease because we won't need them anymore, because Jesus will have come back. That's the perfect that is to come. When that which is perfect is come, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. When that which is perfect is come, and he hasn't come yet. So until he comes, we need the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, the gift of healing. We need the declaration of prophecy. We need tongues and interpretation. We need those things. So until then, until Jesus comes, then the gifts of the Spirit are given to the church for our profit, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Amen? Amen. I mean, I'm just honestly interpreting the text. And I don't think in honesty, really, you can interpret it any other way. To me, it's just as clear as you are to me right now.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ in a way that gets hardwired into your life. And we trust these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you can only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in, or drop us a line at our website, hardwired.org. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
One more thing regarding healing. I got to say this. There is a teaching out there that says if you pray for somebody to be healed, or you pray for your own healing and nothing happens, it's the fault of your faith. It's the fault of you just didn't have enough faith. To me, as a student of the Bible, that is a slap against God. Because where does our faith come from? It comes from God. So if it comes from God, and I desperately need him to do something, but my faith is not good enough or strong enough to lay hold of it, then God didn't do right by me, because he's the author and finisher of my faith. Yeah, I know what you're thinking, but Jeff, Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. Yes, he did. But he was laying out there a universal principle that without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So all Jesus was doing there is saying, whatever you're going to get from God, you're going to get it by faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. But if we had faulty faith, and that's why somebody's not healed, I want to submit to you that Paul then had faulty faith. Because he writes to Timothy, quote, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 20, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. Wait a minute. Paul, the man of faith and power for the hour, handed out the handkerchiefs and the aprons. Everybody got healed. I mean, Paul. But he said, I left Trophimus in Miletus, the town of Miletus, sick. Sick. Was Paul's faith faulty? I can't say that. He was God's man of faith and power for the hour. He had it going on. He was the guy. So what's up with that? Here's the answer. The only answer is that the gifts of the Spirit operate as the Spirit leads. Now listen carefully to me. The gifts are subservient to the sovereignty and the will of God. Listen to what Jesus said. And how many of you think Jesus knew how to minister? Do you have a pretty good ministry plan? I'll follow Jesus' ministry plan. Here's what he said. He said, very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. Now, if he could do nothing by himself, where does that leave us? Listen to what he went on to say. He can do only, read it with me, everybody, what he sees his Father doing. Stop there. That's how Jesus ministered. He got up and he started his day this way. Father, I'm walking in your Spirit. I'm going where you lead me. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm not going to do what you don't tell me to do. I'm not going to presume or assume anything. I'm only going to do what you show me to do, what I see you doing. That's all I'm going to do. That's the extent of my ministry. My ministry is successful as long as I do what I see the Father telling me to do. and I don't go off into presumptuous sin. Well, because he did it here, he'll also do it there. No, in every situation, we are to be subject to the promptings and leadings of the Holy Spirit, because that's how Jesus ministered. And if Jesus did it that way, so must we. Now watch this, because he finishes the verse, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Now I'll give you an example. When Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda, there were hundreds of others languishing at that pool, waiting for the waters to stir, who were just as desperate as the man Jesus healed. But Jesus only did what the Father showed him. And he went up to one man. Do you want to be healed? Well, no man is here to carry me to the water. He said, pick up your bed and walk. And he healed him. And they walked away with hundreds sitting there watching this miracle happen, but they all weren't healed, only this one. We want to say, well, that's not fair. But fair is not even a New Testament principle. Let me tell you something about fair. Life's not fair. One of the best things you can teach your children early on, honey, sweetie, son, daughter, life's not fair. People are rotten sometimes. You're going to be wrong. You're going to be betrayed. You're going to be, listen, it's a stinking, dark veil of tears in this world. And this world is not fair. Life's not fair. And nobody owes you anything. But watch this now. I like to put it this way. Life's not fair, but God is good. Amen. Life's not fair, but God is good. So if you teach them life's not fair, they won't go into the world with this sickening entitlement mentality. The government owes me. My parents owe me. My friends owe me. And then they get married. My spouse owes me, because I am so wonderful. I am so blessed. I am so everything. I'm all that in a bag of chips. Everybody owes me something. No, nobody owes you and me nothing. And life is going to be unfair to you. Sometimes you're going to get so mad at life, and then you got to say, okay, what is my default position here? Yeah, life's not fair, but I know my God, and my God is good. And my God all the time checkmates when life is not fair. He steps in, and he gives me grace, and he gives me power, and he gives me blessing, and he carries me through. Life's not fair, but God is good. I said all that to say, some people are healed and some are not. And when they're not, the last thing I'm going to say to them ever is, well, it's your faith. If you'd had better faith. No, 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 no. The gifts are subject to the sovereignty and will of God. And if they're not healed, listen, the whole world prayed for Kathy. The whole world prayed for my all-time favorite pastor. And they both went to heaven. Now, did I walk away from that going, well, I'm mad at God because that's not fair? No, I know too much theology. I know too much Bible. I'm not saying that bragging. I'm just saying I know what the Word of God says. Life's not fair, but God is good. And the goodness of God will always carry you through the unfairnesses of life. Amen? Amen. So next time life's not fair, just look at them and say, Lord, this was not fair. But I know you're good, and you're going to work this together for my good, so I'm in a win-win situation anyway. Amen. Amen. Now, that said, I've seen people dramatically healed. God's ability to heal did not pass away with the apostles. Yet, like all the gifts, the gift of healing is subject to the Spirit's will and choosing. Should we pray for healing? Always. Is everybody healed? No. But likewise, everybody wasn't saved when Billy Graham would preach to a packed stadium. Did he walk away because, you know, 1,000 came forward and left 50,000 in the stands? Did he walk away and say, well, I'm not going to preach the gospel anymore because they weren't all saved? No, he just left it up to God. And so when it comes to praying for the sick, because somebody's not healed, do I quit praying for the sick? No, I go down to the next one in the line, because it's all up to him, and he will move when he chooses. And he always chooses best. Now, the third power gift, and I close, is the gift of miracles. It says the Spirit gives to another the working of miracles. Now, a miracle is the performance of something against the laws of nature. Miracles defy nature. They defy natural law. It's a supernatural power to intervene and counteract earthly and evil forces. Miracles defy God's natural laws. The word miracles comes from the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis is the word for power. It literally means power and might that multiplies itself. So a miracle is a work of supernatural power that defies natural law per the moving of the Spirit. The gift of miracles operates closely with the power gifts of faith and of healing to bring authority over Satan, sickness, and sin. The gift of miracles or miraculous powers is different, however, from the gift of healing. Those in the early church who had the gift of miracles had the ability by the Spirit to do miraculous things of a different, more powerful kind. A miracle is a big deal. And I got to tell you, in the overall run of things, they're pretty rare. In my whole life, walking with God, I've seen miracles. But they're more rare than not. God does them, but not every day. But that's okay, because God is good. And when He wants a miracle done, a miracle will happen. Now, I believe in miracles. I believe in the miracle of the virgin birth. That was a miracle. Everybody say miracle. I believe in the resurrection from the dead. That wasn't a healing. That was a miracle. I believe that Jesus took my sins on Himself on the cross and yours as well. That was a miracle. I got to tell you, I put the casting out of demons in the category of more of a miracle than a healing, because I don't believe a deliverance is a healing as much as it is a miracle. You got to think, you're talking to a supernatural evil personality residing in a human being, has possessed them, is tormenting them, and holds them in its grip. And you come along, led by the Spirit, and God says to you, I want you to cast that out like Paul did the demon out of the woman with the spirit of divination in the book of Acts. And this supernatural wicked personality that is a minion of Satan suddenly must come out. And this person who was tormented and in a grip of God knows what is suddenly free. And that evil spirit has got to leave town. That's a miracle. When Paul struck the sorcerer Elymas blind, that was a miracle. That wasn't anything but a miracle. He said, well, that wasn't a very kind miracle. Well, you know what? He repented. You don't say to somebody, you're going to be blind for a season. Nobody can say that and it happened unless it's a supernatural miracle. In Acts 9, when Peter raised Tabitha from the dead, that's another example of a miracle. When you raise somebody from the dead, that's not a healing, that's a miracle. But I have to close with this. The greatest miracle, please hear me, is the miracle of salvation. Oh, no, Jeff, I want to see somebody get out of a wheelchair. Listen, I'm going to say it again. The greatest miracle you will ever see is somebody being saved. It's not as spectacular as parting a sea or even raising a person from the dead, which we human beings love to see. God, on the other hand, is not so concerned about outward appearances as He is a person's heart condition. Because on the inside, they are dead. Everybody say dead. 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 Nekros is the Greek word. Dead. Dead. As Lazarus was dead. Dead in their trespasses and sins. And it's God's desire that we use our spiritual gifts to confront unbelief and bring non-believers to repentance so that spiritually dead people can be transformed into new creatures in Christ Jesus. What greater miracle is there than a person being brought from death to life? Lost to found, hell-bound to heaven-bound, guilty to forgiven, hopeless to hopeful, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. What greater miracle is there than a person could receive a brand new born-again soul, a divine heart transplant, and a brand new nature where all has become new, and all of that happening in a microsecond of time? What greater miracle is there? You tell me what's greater than that. There's nothing greater than that. Jesus Himself said, this is the work of God. What's the work of God, Jesus? That you put your trust in the one He has sent. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of God.
You've been listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call, 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners like you to allow us to be on this station. So please, consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to the website hardwired.org. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website hardwired.org. Thank you for your loyal partnership, as we couldn't do this without you. And finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi. Let us know that you listen to the program. That would really make our day. And Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day. And thanks so much for listening to Hardwired.